So I introduced Brandy, who very graciously volunteered to share today on step one. Take it away, Brandy.
Thanks, Lonnie. Thanks for bear with me, guys. Just came to maybe try. So we'll see what God has for us. Brandy, I am a recovered chaos creator, codependent, recovering still from self, that self loves to come back in. So first, I just want to start with the set aside prayer. God, enable me to set aside everything I think I know for an open mind, an open heart, and a God experience. Help me see the truth, your truth about what you'd have me say right now and have me be. Amen. So, step one, we're in a workshop right now, and we're in step one and we're in Bill's story. And so I was like, I'll just share on Bill's story. I love Bill's story. Bill's story is my story. We're in step one for BBA a long time, and it can be pretty hard to sit in. Step one is where we admitted that we were powerless over, in my case, chaos creating, codependence, my addiction to adrenaline, and that my lives had become unmanageable. So I feel like step one's so hard because you really get to see, you're asking God to like take away the blindfold and see what it is that I do to create chaos and to be in codependent relationships, unhealthy relationships. And before I came into the program, I came to the door of this program pretty miserable. Like the gift of desperation is glorious. I now am very grateful for that gift of desperation. I'd had a lot of things crumble. All at the same time, I was woke up in a woke up in my mind or my heart or whatever. And my God had shown me that I was living in a very domestic violence, alcoholic relationship that I'd been in for more than half my life, and the family dynamics I had lived in were very similar with a narcissistic, borderline, untreated Al-Anon codependent chaos creator, whatever you want to call it. And so the dynamic felt so familiar, the chaos felt so familiar. And then I found myself awake, realizing what I was in because of my daughter. She was two at the time. And thanks to her and God, I got out and found recovery. But in that process, my life really did go to the bottoms, the pits, like it was really stretched. Like in the middle of the divorce, my stepfather passed with a 6 week battle of bone cancer. And then my mom got sick about 4 months later. I was the only child. And my mom, who I love dearly, but also who was very, very sick, right? Part of my growing up disease and abuse. So she only had me, and she was very sick for about 8 months before she passed. And God blessed me with a heart of forgiveness at the time, with a level that I knew at the time. So God, it's this timing of God reveals to us what we're ready to be revealed. And I'm grateful for that because I was able to be there for her in her hardest times, and in her suffering, of which was really hard to watch. And so I came to this program having lost my stepfather and my mom and the previous marriage that I had built up in my mind, the codependent chaos career that I was, built up this dream of something that didn't exist. It was totally not what I was living in. And the hopes that it would always change, that I could fix it, I could fix him, help him, So this hummingbird on crack was just going through so much, and she was just on, I mean, it's like any drug the hummingbird could take to go faster. That's what she was doing in order to try to survive life at the time. So I came in this program super hectic, super frantic. I remember I called Emma, and Emma was like, I was like, I think I'm a chaos creator. She goes, well, have you looked at the list? And she gives me the list. I was like, I'm a chaos creator. Like I like in 2 minutes of reading, I'm like, I'm the chaos creator. I checked off all of them. Right. And I'm like, I'm ready. I'm ready. And God said I wasn't. So I had to sit in the rooms for another 6 weeks or 8 weeks before I could find a workshop and find someone to help. And that was really to be my step guide. And that was really helpful to have that time in the rooms, because I really started identifying myself in other people's stories. And so that was coming into the program. And then, you know, so working the program, step one, it was hard. It was hard to sit and see the honest truth and how I created chaos. And what I loved about Bill's story is how he takes me through my chaos creating codependent career and like how it all evolved. So just starting kind of in the middle of it, you know, at page 10 at the very top, he talks about coming to this point where he was hopeless, right? He had realized that like simple religion and practical programs, like these things that at this point, Ebby had come to him. And leading into Ebby, he was just totally, you know, drunk. He was there drunk. He'd been on Bender for however long. Ebby comes in and Ebby's like a fresh eye and looking really clean and healthy and sober. And at that point, Bill was hopeless. And so on top of page 10, he says, I was certainly I was interested. He was interested in what Bill had, what Ebby had, but he had to be, because he was so hopeless. And I feel like that's where I was when I came in these rooms. I was very interested in seeing how these people were actually breathing when they were talking. They were really slow. They seemed to like know their pitfalls, and yet they were still like okay with it. And they were super authentic and honest. They weren't hiding all these things. And I thought, man, this is like, I want this. I want this. And so I was so hopeless at the time, this gracious gift that God gives me of desperation, that I was willing to sit and look at the hard stuff, my part of it. And because it's super easy with that background story to go to the victimhood and be like, well, I was abused. And well, of course I chose a partner. And like, you know, the story. And the reality is that I create my own chaos. Like, you know, I created these actions and reactions. And even right now, like I just got off the phone from the lawyer and still dealing with a lawyer with the former husband. And it's going to be okay. Like, it's going to be okay. Like God's somehow working this out and it's going to be fine. And if you had asked me that before I came to this program, I would have been frantic and like, rah, la, la, la. And it's like, it's going to be fine. Like whatever it is going to happen. So I love how he goes on in and he says, you know, I had always believed in a power greater than myself. I'd often pondered these things, but I was not an atheist. And for me, that was the case. I know some people it is not, but for me, I really had a connection with God. I had a great faith in God. Two beautiful angels in my life, my great grandmother and my grandmother, were very faithful women and instilled a lot of that in me. I grew up with a loving and compassionate God in the Methodist Church. And so like, for me, I never understood why bad things happened. I never understood why everyone couldn't just get along, but I had this concept that it was that everybody should get along the way I want them to get along. Right. But I believed in God, but I didn't realize that I was at times agnostics, which we talk about later, where I was giving over parts of my life, but then other times just not trusting that God was caring for this little bitty speck of me on this earth, you know? And I think that's part of what I find in Bill's story is that God does care about this little speck of me. So he goes on to say, you know, I had little doubt, that a mighty purpose and rhythm underlay it all. Like I knew all my life that there's too much of a plan. Things are too connected. When I went to PT school, we dissected the body. Like I see this, like, I'm like, it's all interconnected. There's no way this is random. Like I always knew that, but I still just wasn't always trusting in it. And even especially in looking at myself going through step one. So then he goes on, I honestly doubted whether on balance the religions of mankind had done any good. And I definitely related to that. And he goes on to talk about watching this transformation in Ebby. So step one, when I was in so much misery looking at, and I was creating chaos left and right because God's really showing me what I do. And then I'm making another codependent call. As Al-Anon says it, I'm going to the hardware store looking for bread and not getting it, and then getting angry. Like, you know, all those things were happening when I was working the program. And you know, I'm not going to rush my daughter out the door. I'm rushing my daughter out the door. You know, like, it's like God's just showing me how I create this chaos. So then, you know, I, at that point in step one, I really was relying on seeing people like Lonnie and, you know, seeing Terry and some of the other people who've been in this program, Daniel and Anna, like, just, and I'm only saying the ones who've been there because y'all been in this group. I've been watching you since I started. And it's like, when I started, I was relying on seeing you like he sees Abby here, where he said God had done for him what he could not do for himself. His human will had failed. Doctors had pronounced him incurable. Society was about to lock him up, just like myself, but he had admitted complete defeat. And so it was interesting to watch all of you talk about how you admitted complete defeat. You hit the bottom and you admitted defeat. And then all of a sudden you've gone through this program and you're on the other side of the screen showing me those shiny, bright eyes that Abby has. And to get through step one, I had to rely on that because I was feeling really crappy. Like, I was feeling awful about the whole thing. And so here's the miracle that I love is that he says, then he had in effect been raised from the dead, suddenly taken from the scrap heap to a level of life better than the best had ever known. And so I was seeing this in you guys. And so fast forward, I go through this intensive of step one. And I go through having to look at myself. I go through making mistakes, things that I thought I had corrected because I was white knuckling life, right? Like, but I'm not going to do that again. And I'd been so good at not doing it for the last 6 months. And now I'm like, you know, texting the last text, sending another email, making decisions at 9 o'clock at night. Never a good idea. You know, and then apologizing for them in the morning. Like, you know, it just, you know, watching myself do all that, that's step one. And then I get through step two, and then I get through where I'm really ready to surrender it all. And I get to step three, step four, I go and step three, I get a little reprieve. I'm starting to feel a little better, but then I go right into step four where I really get to see myself and my behavior and the roles I assign other people and how I really do things, create my own chaos. So then five, I get to let that go to someone else. And then six and seven, it's time between me and God and I get set right. And all of a sudden I have an experience. And then I go out because of that experience, I have the power and I start making amends, right? I make my list, step eight of harms. And then I go out and start making amends in step nine. And then new power comes in. And so fast forward, you get through this relationship that you've been working on with God, step 10 and 11 throughout. And then step 12, you're working with others. And in that process, I can honestly say that a miracle happened, right? That I literally have been raised from the dead and suddenly I've taken from the scrap heap of a level of life. And my life is now better than it's ever been before. I can now say that, like, life hasn't changed. The former husband, he's still not in recovery. He still has all the same behaviors. He still we use a legal system to mess each other. We have a third party drop off. We have all these restrictions because of the violence that we were in. And they're all very important. But I don't cringe when my daughter goes with him. When she comes back and there's this whole thing that happens after vacations, I call the counselor and say, I think we need an appointment. And I let her do their job. Like, you know, I talked to the lawyer, let her do her job. And I'm like, well, do we have this paperwork yet? Do we have that yet? She's like, no, I'll ask again. Great. That's where we are. Right. Like, it's like, that is a level of peace and serenity. I'm still living my life. I'm still working. I'm still going to bed. I didn't go to bed a reasonable time last night, but like, I'm still going, I did go to bed a reasonable time, as in I went to bed like 11, which I find not reasonable. Used to be 2 a.m. Right. So see, I had to catch myself. Like, it used to be 2 a.m. and getting up. Like, it's just like, I have more energy and bandwidth and life doesn't change, but I somehow am starting, I love, I'm going to quote Lonnie, I accept life on life's terms. Like, I'm just allowing life to keep happening because I know God will continue to work it out, and he keeps doing it. But I do have to stay in this program because I can easily try to think that I need to do something, like that I need to control something. And it's really interesting. I find God gives me what I need to do. He gives me assignment. The assignment was called lawyer today because she called. Like, you know, and then the assignment was, okay, is there anything I need to do from her? No, she's going to do it. So that's the blessing today, I think. And I love Bill's story because it does take me through my career of chaos creating. And the hope that I have to offer is that this true reality of Ebby, this true reality where Bill has a spiritual experience. Like, this book is an manual and a textbook for if you follow step one, step two, step three, step four. Notice I didn't say perfectly. If you follow, then God does these miracles and you have this spiritual experience and you continue to just grow that relationship and you have another spiritual experience and the onion just starts to unfold. It's just such a beautiful gift of this program. So thanks for letting me talk. I have no idea. Hopefully that was helpful. It was on the fly. So I look forward to hearing all of y'all's step one experiences. Thanks.